that says to do everything differently than what you've said to do. So give us strength. I pray that you would help those who are struggling with paying attention, Lord, that you would quiet their hearts, that you would help them to focus in on what you want to say to them through the message. Lord, would you get me out of the way? Would you allow it to not be Pastor AJ's message, but would it be God's message that I was able to deliver? So Lord, allow your word to speak to hearts, mine included, tonight as we talk about what it's like or what it means to serve like Jesus. So give us a good night tonight, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. We will be in Jeremiah chapter 1, and we'll be beginning in verse 4, and then we're actually going to read through verse 19 here in just a minute. But the question is, have you ever done something for somebody, and they didn't say thank you? Yes. And it bothers the tar out of me. Like, my kids are number one villains when it comes to this. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what, I will give them, they will not say thank you. And I'm like, what do you say? Every time. Like, okay, today, we give my kids, out of the good graces of our hearts, we give them money for the book fair for them to buy a book or whatever things they want from the book fair. We don't need to give them the money, okay? They've got plenty of books at home. But we do. Well, my son spent his money, whatever it was, I forget how much my wife gave him, but it was like 10 bucks, 15 bucks, something like that. He spent all of that on one book, whereas Kaya bought three different things that were all cheaper that equaled up to be the 10. So today in the car, we've left his school. I picked him up from school today, and we're going to McDonald's to get them a Happy Meal, by the way. And on the way, my son says, hey, Dad, so that it's fair, can you get me a book as well, since Kaya got two books and a toy? And I only got one book, so that it can be fair, would you get me a book after the Happy Meals when I have the toy? And seriously, we're stopped at the light, getting ready to turn off of 267 onto 36, turn left, and I like turned around in my seat, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me, because like my son did not deserve the book. Now, we love him and want to give him money. It's not like we're mean. But he didn't deserve it. But in his mindset, it was not fair because he chose to spend his money on something, which, by the way, never once did my wife or I hear a thank you for the money to buy the book in the first place. So then he's going to go and complain about how he didn't get what he wanted or he didn't get as much as his sister did because she spent it on things that are going to break in 2 days. But no matter what, he's complaining about that. But it irks us and it bothers us when people don't say thank you when you do something for them. When you've served them or when you've given them something and they don't say thank you, it just irks you to your core. Well, there's a guy in the Bible named Jeremiah who served for years upon years upon years upon years and never once had anybody around him say thank you. Jeremiah did some crazy things in the name of prophesying what God told him to say, and he still never had anybody around him say, you know what, thanks for warning us about what was coming. It was all, shut up, Jeremiah, you're a loser, Jeremiah, and like all the negative things, but nobody ever once said thank you. So let's read a little bit of the story and what God tells him is going to happen in verse 4. He says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, this is the word of the Lord coming to Jeremiah saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And at this point, if you're Jeremiah, you're like, cool. You know what? Like, I mean, at this point, I'm like, I can't do it. I'm too young. He's like, you ain't too young. All right, I'll give you the words. And you're like, this is sounding pretty good. Until you get to the rest of the chapter. Verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day to set over you the nations and over kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And he's thinking, this is a great job. God's called me to something fantastic. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. And the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. And the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. And then God lays it on him. So he says to him, out of the north calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land, by which he's actually going to prophesy too. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, its priests, and against the people of the land. And he says, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. So here's Jeremiah's call to be a prophet, and the beginning part of it seems fantastic. Like, this is great. I'm going to be used by God, man, to serve this kingdom. People are going to hear the gospel. It's going to be great. And then it kind of gets to the end of the chapter, and God's like, oh, by the way, I'm calling all these kingdoms out of the north to come and destroy Jerusalem, and you're going to be in there with them. What? Huh? And then Jeremiah's like, oh, yeah, in his mind, I'm guessing he's thinking, okay, but at least they're going to be turning to Christ. It'll only last a couple years, and then they'll turn around. And he goes, and they'll fight against you. They're going to attack you verbally, physically, emotionally, mentally. Any way you can think about it, they're going to attack you. But don't worry, I'm with you, and I'll make you strong. And if you're Jeremiah, and if I'm Jeremiah, my fleshly thought is, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I don't want to be a prophet in a place where I know I'm going to be destroyed. Like, I have to sit there knowing that destruction is coming, tell these people that destruction is coming, and they're like, loser, yeah, right. And then it comes, and I've got to sit here the whole time with it. That's where Jeremiah is being called. Why wouldn't you just be like, I'm out, I'm done, I'm not doing it? Because Jeremiah recognizes, especially in the end of verse 19, that what God calls you to do, what God commands you to do, is worth going through the ridicule. It's worth going through the destruction of the things around you. It is worth being on his side. So there are a couple of things that we understand based off of Jeremiah, and I've titled this sermon Thankless Serving, even though the title slide says Serve Like Jesus, because if there was ever a man who served without being thanked, it would be Jesus. In fact, there's a story in the Bible of how he heals 10 lepers. Leprosy was a disease that would kill you. Like, limbs would start falling off. Like, you would be like, wake up that morning like, oh, count my fingers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8, and then two of them would be gone, okay? That's leprosy. And then it would be like, oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I don't have another arm. So it was like, it was not a fun thing to be a part of. They had to stand miles outside of the city, and when someone who didn't have leprosy would come near them, they would yell out, unclean, unclean, so that they wouldn't get near them. Now, if you seventh graders would learn that, just kidding. But as they would walk by, they unclean, unclean, as they walked by, because they didn't want to get near because you could catch the leprosy, okay? Jesus heals 10 of them. Now, if you got healed from leprosy, my thought would be that I would turn around the guy and say, thank you. Because you couldn't see your family. You couldn't see your friends. You were only part of a leper community at that point. No one else. So you would turn around and say, thank you. I was dead, but you've made me alive. I would think I would say thank you. 9 out of the 10 lepers just went. Now, sometimes we think, that's crazy. Why didn't they say thank you? Because they had kids and a wife and friends back home. You know, some of you, if Jesus came and did something great in your life, you wouldn't say thank you to him, because you'd want to go see your friends, you'd want to go see your family, you'd want to go see whatever you put in front of there. So don't be angry about the lepers not saying thank you, because there are so many of us that when God gives us something, we don't actually say thank you, because we just keep moving on with life. But that's what Jesus did. So serving like Jesus is thankless serving. But what are some principles we see in Jeremiah chapter 1 to help us tonight to understand that everyone contributes is one of our house values, but that we're going to be a youth group where everyone does contribute? Number one, he was chosen. There in the beginning of Scripture, it says, or in the beginning of the passage, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. What that means is that every single person represented here tonight, sponsor or teen alike, has a purpose from God, a specific purpose. Not just for you, like, generically, like, well, hopefully they grow up and be another good kid. You know, that's not the purpose. God has a specific purpose set in stone for you personally, for you individually, not for you and blank, but for you. Because before you were even conceived, God knew what he wanted you to do. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I knew that you were going to be a prophet. In other words, God's saying that I called you long before you even had the decision to make. So before you go off saying, this is what I'm going to do with my life, and this is who I'm going to be, take a step back and understand that you have been chosen by God to do something. Now, it's going to look different for everybody. Not everybody in here is going to be a youth pastor. Not everybody in here is going to be a school teacher. Not everybody in here is going to be an electrician or plumber, whatever title you want to put there, graphic designer, computer technician, whatever you want to put in the title. Not all of you are going to be that. So it's going to look different. His choosing of that and that and that and that. His plan's going to look different than me. You're not going to look like me. Praise God for that, for you. But you're not going to look like me, okay? You're going to go down a different path. But all of us are chosen and formed in the womb to do something for God. You have been formed for a purpose. So some of you need to get in your mind that that purpose right now is to make a difference in your school, is to make a difference in your friend's life who is constantly depressed and constantly down, and to be a light to them. Some of you, your purpose is in your family when there's constant division and strife and anger and fighting and all that different stuff, that you're the one that's the light of what's right and what's good. And when your dad has just gotten done yelling at your mom and he yells at you, you don't respond in kind, but you respond in kindness. And you say, yeah, absolutely, Dad, I'll get it done. And there's a clicking of there's something different, because your purpose at that moment is to bring a light to your family. I don't know what your purpose is right now. I don't know what it is 10 years down the road, but understand, all of you have a purpose, so that no one can say, I don't serve a purpose and everything will go on without me. There is one niche in your life that only you can fill. Only you, nobody else. It's not like God's going, okay, well, I would use Kirsten, but if she says no, I've got, and she starts listing off the rest of the names. No, it's if Kirsten doesn't do this, it doesn't get done. Because he's designed her for this, whatever it may be, or Megan, or Alexis, or Austin, or Connor, or Maverick. It doesn't matter who it is. It is that niche that you are designed for, that you have a purpose for. So beyond the fact of understanding you have a purpose, buy into the fact that you have a purpose. Because then when those thoughts come in that life would be better without you for everybody else, you understand that it's not true, because before God formed you in the womb, he knew you and chose you to do something. And so you have a purpose. But he wasn't just chosen, he was commanded. God commands him to go. You know, all throughout Scripture, God gives us commands. We think about the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not steal, commit adultery, all those different things. We think about those Ten Commandments as the commands. But all throughout Scripture, God gives us commands. In Matthew, it talks about how God commands us to go and make disciples, to go and reach other people with the gospel. Well, how do we do that? By serving. But oh my goodness, is it thankless at times. When you go out on Saturday and we serve in the Heritage Festival community, last year, I can count, I think, if my memory serves me right, I can count on two hands the number of people that said thank you for us doing the parking. One person stopped and verbally said it. The rest of them just waved like a thank you wave. They didn't stop and say thank you. They literally just waved. But one person rolled down their window upon exiting and said, this has been the best year for parking. You guys do awesome every year. Thank you for what you do, and pulled off. One person. You know how many cars we parked last year? Around 1,500. So it's thankless serving. But God commands us to go and make a difference in our community, to be a light in our community. Hey, Saturday is not about you getting name recognition. No one's going to like drive you about on top of their car surfing so that everybody can see how wonderful you are. It's going to be about you sweating and hot and thirsty and hungry, going, park here. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be about that. It's thankless serving, but it's what God has commanded us to be and to do. That's why we have these Love Inc. projects, the Love in the Name of Christ projects, because God has commanded us to serve people no matter what, whether we feel like it or not. You know, there are sometimes, let's be real, honest, there are sometimes I don't feel like serving you people. I mean, I love you to death, I really do, but there are times whenever I will see a post on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever social media you use, and it's 2:00 in the morning, the person just posted, and I think, oh, I don't want to start this right now. And I think, I got to get up at 6. If I start talking for 30 minutes, it'll be there. And I'm like doing math in my head as far as how long I can survive the next day without coffee. And part of me is like, do I really want to do this? Let me tell you why I do. First off, I love you, just like I would with my wife. My wife wakes up at 3 and says, I need to talk. And I'm gonna be like, shut up and go back to sleep. I'm going to talk with her because I love her, whether I feel like talking with her at that moment or not. But also because God commanded me to. God called me to this place. You don't get rid of me that easy unless Pastor John fires me. So I'm here, and so I love you. And so my command to me is to serve you, to be a difference maker in your life, whether you thank me for it or not. And that's not a call for you to thank me. But no matter what you do, God's called me to serve here, just like Pastor John to serve here, just like Pastor Dave to serve here, just like the volunteers who don't get paid to serve here. We've been commanded to serve and make a difference. And then the end of verse 19, he was confident. So this was a daunting task. Jeremiah has to go. These people are going to fall. It's going to be terrible and nasty and icky and disgusting and all those different things. And he still has to go and do it. But God gives him this confidence. He says, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. Whatever your purpose is in life that God has put in front of you, no one can stop you from doing it. That's why our name is 4:12 out of Timothy, because no man can despise your youth. No one can stop you from being an example of the believers in word and faith and conversation and purity and all of the things that you are required and commanded by God to be an example to other people. And no one can stop you, not even me. God has given you a command. Yes, he's chosen you. Yes, but he can give you confidence because no one's going to prevail against you. There is not a kingdom. There is not a king. There is not an army. There is not a boyfriend or girlfriend. There is not an enemy. There is not a frenemy. There is not anybody who will prevail against you if you're fulfilling God's purpose. So then the issue here for us tonight is, yeah, there's going to be times of thankless serving. There's going to be times when God calls you to be a part of everyone contributing, like Saturday, when you just don't feel like it. Yo, I don't feel like it. Okay? The idea of standing in the sun all day, and y'all get breaks. I don't. So standing in the sun all day is not like, yippee, you know? Like, that's not, I'm not looking forward to in the sense of being like, I'm so pumped, you know? I'm not. I am looking forward to for the sense of people will pull into our parking lot and see teenagers and adults who are happy to serve their community. Why? Because God chose us to do so, because God commanded us to do so, and because no one and nothing on earth can stop us. So it doesn't matter what your purpose is in life. No one can stop you. Now, quick caveat before we close. People, a lot of times, whenever we talk about our purpose in life, will say, oh, yeah, I know my purpose, and I'm going to do this, and no one's going to stop me. My question then to you is this. Have you asked God about that? And I don't mean like, God, this cool? Sweet. And keep going. I mean like, have you spent time praying and asking? Because I've told you the story. I met with a Army recruiter, a Navy recruiter, a Marine recruiter, an Army Ranger, and then I met with a Navy SEAL who was in the recruiting about getting into the Navy SEALs. So I thought all the way up until I was 16 that I was going to be in the military no matter what. No one's going to stop me. It was my purpose in life. And I thought, personally, I thought, put me on the front lines. If I die, it doesn't affect anybody, so put me there and I'll serve on the front lines. It doesn't bother me one bit. I thought my entire life, even through 16, that that's what I was going to do. And everybody kept saying, do you know your purpose in life? military. My dad wasn't in the military. It's not like I was following in his footsteps. Nobody in my immediate family was. It was just me. But I knew for sure that this is what God wanted me to do. And then at 16, God changed that. Because, you know, I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. We all wouldn't be here, probably, if it wasn't for the fact that God made that switch. So, yeah, I'm all for you knowing your purpose and no one can stop you from doing it except God. Does that make sense? So if your purpose is different than his, he gonna stop you. But no one can stop you from doing what God's purpose is for your life. So if you know for sure what God's purpose is, first off, ask him and make sure he knows for sure that's what he wants you to do. And then after that, man, go for it. Don't let anybody stop you. If you want to change the world, if you want to end world hunger, if you want to end depression, if you want to end the suicide just craze that is going on in our world today, if you want to do anything like that, do it. No one's going to stop you. If it's what God has for you, nothing will prevail against you. Hey, come serve Saturday. Serve like Jesus. Be somebody who doesn't need to hear a thank you. I'll thank you because I'm glad you're there. But be somebody who's willing to serve like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful that I can stand up here and have something to speak on. That's not just Pastor AJ time where I come up and talk about my family, my kids, what's going on in my life, but that there's truth to base every sermon off of. That God, the things that I'm talking with these teenagers about have first been preached to me through your word. Lord, on the plane as I wrote this message, in my mind was thinking how often I serve for a thank you, how often I do things so that they get noticed, or I do things that are the things in front of people rather than the things behind the scenes. But God, I pray tonight that for me personally, that you would help my heart to serve like you did. God, you served people whether they said thank you or not. You served them whether they noticed it or not. You healed people that never even saw your face. And God, would you allow us to serve like you did? Because we have been chosen. You formed us in the womb and you chose us before that even happened. But Lord, you've commanded us to go and make a difference in our community, in our church, in our school, in our family. And Lord, we have confidence because you're going with us and nothing shall prevail against us. We love you, Lord, and we need you. It's in your son's name that I pray. Amen.